In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Remember when? Almost every conversation with my sister, who lives in Northwest Florida, includes a little section called the Remember When section. Week before last, I was talking with her, and we had a rather long conversation to catch up on the latest family gossip. And right in the middle of a really juicy story about one of my cousins, which I want to follow up on, and it's not really fit to tell here, I'm sorry to say, but my sister interjected, "Oh, Steve, remember when you and Eddie Ray caught the woods behind Granddaddy Bauer's house on fire, and he had to call the fire department, which was 10 miles away? Now, you know the real reason why, that I wanted to be a priest in the Episcopal Church so I could burn candles and incense." And we had a big fire last night outside that kind of almost got out of control, for those of you who were here. I don't think I told the search committee when they were interviewing me that about the time that I caught the carpet on fire by flinging the coals from the incense onto the carpet. Needless to say, that church really has a really nice tile floor now. Memories. Remember when? We all know that sharing memories is a part, a really important part of the human experience. When your family gets together at holidays or funerals or weddings, invariably the stories will come pouring forth. Remember when? Or you meet up with college friends or childhood acquaintances. And at some point, especially for those of us who went to college, we tell those stories about the past that seem to get crazier year after year. Remember when? Remember when we put the piano on the steps of the president's house? But all of our memories are not pleasant or comfortable, are they? Memories of abuse at the hands of a loved one, or rejection by a lover, or being bullied by classmates. Memories of loved ones who were taken from us far too soon. Memories can be both a blessing and a curse. Scientists tell us that memory is a function of neurons in the human brain. Now, you're going to get a little science lesson this morning. Our brains contain over 100 billion of these neurons, and they can store the equivalent of several million books. Think about that. Now, a subset of scientific research on the memory is the study of why we forget. One recent study suggests that if you're having memory problems, it may be related, of course, to a medical disorder, but more often than not, forgetfulness is often caused by the context of the situation, anxiety, emotion, or the loss of sleep. Now, personally, I like the findings of this recent story, which is by Lisa Genova, if you want to look it up, because now I can tell my spouse that forgetting my wallet, my keys, and the glasses that are probably on my head is the function of my context, or I've just lost too much sleep. And I can't tell you how many times this week I was walking around this church looking for my glasses, and guess where they were? Right here. Again, loss of sleep. And all of this makes a little more sense to me of the message that's delivered by these two mysterious figures in today's gospel reading. In Luke's version of the resurrection story, the women, and thank God for the women, because I think it is highly likely that we would have never known anything about the resurrection without their courage and faith. But the women, they come and they find an empty tomb. Except for these two figures glowing with light, who quite nonchalantly, it seems, tells them, "Well, he's not here. He's risen. Don't you remember what he told you when he was in Galilee? Now, you have to give credit to the women. If it were me, I would have responded, "Are you serious? I can't remember Galilee. I can't remember anything right now except what has happened over the last few days. All I can remember right now is the way Jesus was arrested and tortured, how his so-called friends ran like the wind in the middle of the night and deserted him, how he was condemned to death in a mock trial and then crucified like the worst criminal. Are you serious? All I can remember is helping wrap his dead, lifeless body and put him in this tomb. And you expect me to remember Galilee when my world has been turned upside down? When grief within me is so deep and raw, all I can do is cry and try to put one foot in front of the other? The events of their recent past had overridden their memories of time spent with Jesus in Galilee. The pain of recent suffering, betrayal, abandonment, and death obscured those memories of Jesus healing the sick, raising the dead, touching the untouchable, teaching everyone that God's love is unconditional and leaves no one out. They forgot those quiet conversations around the table or around the fire, because those memories have been drowned out by the echoes of an angry mob shouting, "Crucify him." And I wonder if in the providential grace of God, those two dazzling figures were sent to help them put the recent memories of Good Friday into the context of what they are now seeing. Right there in front of them, an empty grave. It is hard to remember Galilee when all you can think about is Calvary. But then it becomes clear to them, ah, yes, we remember now. The pieces of the puzzle are beginning to fit. And Luke tells us that the women remembered Jesus' words and they went back to the city to share the good news with the other disciples. Now, these other disciples were afraid for their lives, and they were stubborn too. And they did not believe a word of it, the text tells us. It was hard for them to remember Galilee when all they could think of was Calvary. Now, here we are on this Easter day, 2022, just on the other side of a pandemic that has interrupted our lives for 2 years and shook us to the core. I have seen people this weekend that I have not seen for 2 years. Our country is more divided than ever, and a war has erupted. And those images that we see flash before us of dead bodies in the streets and bombed out buildings are constant reminders of the brokenness of the world. And on a more personal level, many of you in this room have suffered losses that are really hard to bear. Fathers and mothers and grandparents and brothers and sisters and friends who have become sick, and some of them taken sooner than we would have ever have dreamed. As those of you who are members of this parish know, we have buried more of our members in the last 8 months than in the past 7 years combined. And to boot, a number of folks who were worshiping and serving with us 3 Easters ago have not returned. And whether you're sad or glad that I'm retiring, this parish is about to enter a period of transition. And what is before you is that little dirty word that none of us deep down like: change. Transition. Brett Younger writes, "Easter is not for those whose only worries are that their shoes are too tight or the line at the restaurant is too long. Easter is for those who have been to the cemetery. And the beauty and glory of Easter and what we celebrate this day, once again reminded on this day by the word and the sacrament, and the very fact that we're able to gather in this room today around God's table. God has done something remarkable in Jesus. Easter Day reminds us that pain, suffering, and loss do not have the final say. In fact, meaning and purpose can be birthed out of loss. Death is not the end. Love has won, and love will win. And it's hard for us to see that at times, to believe that when all we can think about is Calvary. But the words of those two dazzling messengers are for us too. Remember Galilee. Remember God's faithfulness and goodness to us in the past. Remember the gifts that you have this day. You are sitting here alive. That's a gift. The gift of life. The gift of love. The gift of community. Remember Galilee. Jesus knew it would be hard to remember Galilee when Calvary, when pain, when suffering, when loss, when trouble is staring you in the face. Jesus knew it would be hard to remember that we are all loved beyond measure and that we are always enough. When the world tells us to measure up, to do more, to be more, to conform to this or that. I think it was an act of genius when Jesus took a little piece of bread and broke it and a little cup of wine and shared it, giving it to his friends. And do you remember what he told them to do? You're going to hear it again in a few minutes. Do it often and do it in remembrance of me. Remember. Remember, remember. Now, later on in that day, of that first Easter, late afternoon, two of those dejected, depressed, and puzzled friends of Jesus headed home to Emmaus. They had heard what the women said, and they chose not to believe it. It was just too good to be true. What are we to do now? How do we make sense of all that is happening? Has God's dream for the world died on the cross? But then, seemingly out of nowhere, a stranger joins them on the road. They talk, and they invite this stranger to supper. And this stranger takes bread and gives thanks and breaks it and gives it to them. And then they remembered. Ah. Sisters and brothers, resurrection is not about getting to heaven when you die. It is not about some pie-in-the-sky idea that's unconnected with the real world in which we live. Resurrection is an invitation. It is an invitation this day and every day of our lives to live as Jesus lived, to love as Jesus loved. It is an invitation to live with our whole being, wholehearted living, daring to love our enemies, daring to reach out and heal the broken, and to offer hope to a world that has all but forgotten how to hope. And how to speak the truth. And how to live the truth. Resurrection is an invitation to make God's dream for the world and for each one of us in this room come true. And what we dare to declare on this day is that God's dream for this broken world is not dead, but very much alive. And I would say that you are living proof of it. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember? Remember? Remember Galilee. Amen.